there. And while he was at Kittering, he started feeling the call to go out west and serve in the mission field with the Native in the Navajo tribe there. And so you were leaving about the same time I was coming here. And I think if you guys have good memories, you'll remember he spoke, was it last summer or two summers ago?
It was, well, I spoke a couple summers ago about going out there, but actually a year before that, I think I preached it.
Okay, so Dave's been here a couple of times, and so when he said he's in the area and has an update to share, it would be great. So we'll give the time to you, Dave, to give an update on what's going on.
Thanks. Yeah, so I thank you all for having me here this morning, and it's good to be home. It always is. It's comfortable to be back home. When you go away into a strange place with strange people, it takes a while to get settled in, and we've been there 2 years now, and it's still not home. But the Lord is using us there, so it's good to be there and seeing His hand at work. One thing that I do want to address first is that there's going to be some changes as we go forward. We're going to still be doing a lot of the same kinds of ministry that we're doing already, but I'm going to begin to work with a different organization that's going to free me up to do what God has really been using me to do. Organization that focuses more on relational ministries rather than ones that are so strongly institutional. And I'm still going to be doing things at that institution. I'm still going to be doing things and partnering with them. But I'm also going to be freed up to partner with other pastors in the area and also work with other organizations that are at work. And so I'm excited about that. And the organization is called NAME, Native America Indigenous Ministries. And they have missionaries all over in different reservations, and mostly in Canada, some in the U.S., and some in Mexico, working strictly with Native American, different Native American tribes. There's a lot of resources that they provide. It is going to mean that we're going to have to be raising a little bit more money because we're going to have our own place to live and things like that. But we're really excited about it because by moving off of a mission compound, it actually allows us to be more a part of the community in a deeper way and not just be the outside missionary. So we are excited about that. Rolanda finally got started with school again. I know that when we went out there, she was going to be going back to school. She had been going to Wayne College, and she just got started again. And part of that's just been the stress of the transition. I think it's kind of kept her from putting her feet forward. So she finally is getting started on her education again at San Juan College. Ariana just graduated, and she's going to be going to Fort Lewis College in Durango, Colorado, which isn't too far away, actually. And Maris is going to be a freshman. So it's crazy to see how fast they're growing up. We're moving right along. So anyway, about some of the things that we've been doing, I think it's been exciting. There was a time there when I began to ask, God, can I make a difference here? I really began to question that. I began to feel hopeless at times. And I understood that sometimes you don't see the fruit of your ministry for years. And I asked my mentor, he's been in ministry out there for over 40 years. He speaks fluent Navajo. I asked Ben, I said, Ben, how long were you here before you saw someone come to Christ? He said, 12 years. I said, wow, are you kidding me? But the thing is, I know that Ben has bore a lot. There's been a lot of fruit that has come from his ministry. He has a good reputation. Everybody knows who he is. I mean, for one, I mean, he's the white guy that speaks fluent Navajo. But no, they have a lot of respect for him. And it's good to have somebody like that. He's going to continue to be my mentor as I work for NAME. But what's exciting is over the last few months, God has been using me in many different ways. Here I was beginning to question if I could even make a difference. And then God started just presenting me with many different opportunities. And it was happening through different circles of influence. I volunteered 2 days a week at a local school with an art class, and it enabled me to build relationships with kids from the community. And so out in the community, when they see me, they'll say, hey, Dave, you know, and, And then their parents will be like, well, who's this guy? Well, he's our teacher. And, you know, I'm not really their teacher, but it gives me an opportunity to have a connection with the family. And I help out with next generation basketball. And that's something that a Navajo guy started. And I pretty much started helping him as soon as I got out there. And I met him, and he got me plugged in. And it wasn't long into it that he said, hey, Dave, he said, would you be willing to lead a devotion with these kids once a week? And the next generation is between 15 to 40 kids that come, anywhere from really little kids, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old, all the way up to high school age. And it's exciting working with them because these kids in that setting, they tune in and they listen, and I'm able to do those devotions with them. There's also a school that meets at our mission, and I haul the kids from, a couple days a week, I haul the kids to and from school, and so I've been able to relate to some of them. And then there's just other relationships through adults. I have a lot of connections through adults, which actually working with NAME is going to free me up to where that'll be a part of my ministry officially, to where I will be working with more adults. But anyway, through these different circles, I connected with kids. And there were a lot of opportunities in the last few months to minister. A few weeks before I came out here, a guy called me and he said, I'm going to take my life. And I just said, God, just help me not to say anything wrong here, you know, in this crisis situation. But the thing is, God used me, and I talked with him for a couple of hours, and I prayed with him. And 3 weeks after that, he was coming with us. So I guess it's actually probably been 5 or 6 weeks ago that this happened. But he ended up coming with us to a youth camp. And he's 30, but he had some stepkids that came with us to camp. And we ended up taking 17 youth to a camp that was in the Chinle area on the Navajo Reservation, and that's where Rolanda grew up. And we took these kids to a camp, and it was just an awesome week. All these kids from all these different circles of influence coming together. Sometimes they can be cliquey, and I can see ones from our school not really connecting with the other ones. But by the end of the week, they were just one cohesive group. And throughout the week, we had different speakers lined up, and we had a VBS component, we had all kinds of activities, and then we had like an evening service. And at the evening services, we usually had some kind of altar call, and most of the kids in our group responded to those and either rededicated their lives to Christ or gave their lives to Christ for the first time. So it was really exciting to see this. Here I was thinking, am I even making a difference? Can I make a difference? And then to see this kind of fruit, it was just really awesome. And then Will, the guy that was intending to take his life, he rededicated his life to the Lord and led his stepson to the Lord, who wants to get baptized when we get back. And so it's just really exciting to see. Here I was thinking, how can I really make a difference here? And then God just presented me with all these opportunities, and I can see, okay, his hand is at work here in this ministry. It's just humbling. It really is. And I'm really thankful for the opportunity to be there. Now the question is, how do we disciple these kids and these people? Most of them want nothing to do with the church, as far as the institutional church, because they've been so burned and so hurt in the past. And it's caused me to ask a lot of questions about what is the church, and how can we be the church? If it's a place where we go and we're fighting and we're tearing people down and we're not lifting people up in prayer and we're not worshiping together, and we're not training and equipping people to be the church, then we're not really the church. And so, how do we how do I find a way to bring church to them? That Christian community that they long for. They really do long for being discipled. They long to be in a place where there's fellow Christians that will support them and lift them up. So those are challenges. I don't have all the answers. I don't know what everything's going to look like going forward. There's still, in some ways, as many question marks as there were when I went out there. But I do see God's hand at work, and I'm thankful for that. Thanks for your time.
As many of you can see, I am not Joyce Marty. We had a switch up in the bulletin, so I'll be talking a little bit about what I'm doing next year, and then Joyce will come up and she'll give her testimony to you guys. So as many of you know, I'm going to be doing REACH next year, and so I'm just going to give you a little look into what that's going to look like. REACH is a young adult discipleship and training and missions program that is through Rosedale Mennonite Missions. It consists of three parts, which are a discipleship training school, a time of outreach in another country, and then a home assignment. What I'm in right now is the pre-discipleship training school phase, which means that I'm forming a support team at home. I am doing a research project as well as a reading assignment in order to prepare myself to go into DTS, as it's called. Then starting in September, I will go down to Rosedale for 3 months where I will have intensive kind of spiritual boot camp, as they call it. And so it's a lot of just growing a lot closer to Jesus in your faith, learning how to share your story, as well as forming relationships with your team that you're going to out to your location with. And then after that, I will be heading over to a region of South Asia with a team of five other people for my outreach. And this part of South Asia is actually a closed country, so that means that Christians there are regularly persecuted or that it is illegal to be a Christian there. And so I can't tell you the country right now because I'm being recorded, but if any of you would like to know, just come up to me afterwards and I can let you know. But my team there will be doing a lot of going to rural villages, so like isolated villages. Some of them are even 8 hours away from internet access. And these are going to be a lot of preaching the gospel to these people through preaching and dramas and worship music and just kind of getting to know villagers there. As we're also going to have an opportunity to work at a rural orphanage there. And so that's going to be teaching the English language to kids and just playing with them and kind of showing them God's love. And so that's going to be for 6 months. I'll leave for that in the beginning of December. And then I will be home in June, the beginning of June. And when I get home, I have a home assignment, so that'll include me giving an update to all of you about my experiences over there. I'll also be responsible for getting plugged back into the church community and kind of learning how to transfer everything that I've learned over the past year into my daily life. And so the reason I guess I'm doing this is because I really just felt God's pull on my heart about this a year or two ago. And I think it gives me a great opportunity to see what the global church is like, where it's not just in America, see how Christians are living their daily lives, where the church is expanding so rapidly, even though they're being persecuted and have hopeless economic situations. And it's also a great way for me just to learn more about getting closer to God and learning how to share him with everybody, whether it's at home or in another country. And so this is kind of a huge undertaking for me, and so there's no way I can do it without all of your help. So a main way that you guys could help me is through prayer for me and my team as we're getting ready to go into discipleship training school, that God would equip our hearts and prepare us to be receptive to what people have to teach us. As well as for my team specifically, we are supposed to have a team leader that will kind of be the guide for us as we go into our location. And for my team, one has not yet been selected, so that the leadership of Reach would be able to find someone who God has equipped to lead my team with wisdom. And also just a prayer for the leaders of the Reach program, that they would be able to disciple us in the way that we should before we go out to our locations. Another way that I could use the support is through monetary donations. I am responsible for $9,900, and that will cover my entire time in the Reach program. As many of you have seen, you've got a letter in your mailboxes about this, and if you would like to support me in any way, I would just ask that you would fill that out, and it needs to be sent to Roseville Mennonite Missions, which is on their address is on the letter. If that slip is not sent with any sort of monetary donations, it will not be counted towards my Reach experience, so I would really ask that you would send that slip with it. And I just really ask that you keep my team and me in your prayers as we go along, and just thank you for your support.
Thank you, Emily. Emily had made a similar presentation to church council a little while back, and we talked about, okay, what we obviously as a church really want to get behind Emily and support her in this, and we talked about what's the best way to do this, and just after some discussion, we said, well, what we want to do is to give all of you guys an opportunity to support her individually first, because there's it's a little better connection when you fill out that slip, whether you're going to just pray or just give donations or both or however you decide to do that. If you do that on your own and fill that in, then you'll have more of a personal connection to Emily through that, so you'll get her newsletters mailed to you, and you'll have a little bit more one-on-one, as opposed to if the church would just give a lump sum, you wouldn't feel necessarily that personal connection towards Emily. And so that's kind of the decision that council came up to, is that we want to give all of you guys an opportunity to individually support Emily in this, so you have that more close personal time. And then what council also decided is after we're going to let this sit for a couple weeks, and we'll check in with Emily and Rosedale Mennonite Missions and see how much money has come in, both from us as a church family. She's also going to be talking to other friends and family as well. And then council said after a couple weeks, we'll see how much has come in and what the balance is, and then we as council will decide if there's still some money that needs to be covered, then we'll decide as a church to work on a lump sum as well. So that's the approach. I'm not sure if that's exactly how it's been done in the past, but that's just kind of how council decided to do that now. So that's why we're encouraging you to read through that letter that's in the mailbox and respond individually, and knowing that we as a church body are also wanting to support her, but we want to give individual opportunities first. So we encourage you to look into that. And then there's some other personal there's a personal letter Emily has too that she might distribute later. So I encourage you to talk to her, get more information, and pray about how you want to support her as an individual and get that personal connection with what she's doing.
You have to agree with me. I do, I said. He says, you have to agree with my word. You have to say what I say, not what you say. Of course, you know. And then I finally argued, and he says, you're worrying me with all your words. Then he finally got in my face and said, your words are stout. And I said, I'm sorry, forgive me, I'm a failure. He says, no. I says, yes, I'm a fairy. He says, no, that's not my vocabulary. I says, what do you mean? He says, Christians have setbacks. I says, yes, I know about that. I know about all the setbacks. He says, no. He says, I set you back up. Wow, that was so liberating for me. Well, when I shared that that Sunday, maybe a lot of you didn't realize, but when I got up, Satan just twisted my knee to shreds. I almost fell twice. But I came up here, gave my testimony that I was doing wonderful. Throughout the day, it got worse and worse. It hurt. It hurt awful. I prayed. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to claim this. I'm going to claim that by his stripes I'm healed. So I prayed that. Went to bed that night. Didn't sleep very well. Painful, very painful. I'm just don't stay with the word. I get up the next day, go to work. It's hurting. It's hurting. What am I going to do? I'm going to stay with the word. It's getting worse. So I went to bed that night, thinking, okay, Lord, I'm going to really get this thing going. I woke up the next morning. Instead of getting better, matter of fact, I broke out in hives, red welts all over. My face swelled up. I says, what's going on here? This isn't right. I says, okay, now we're at war. So I still got up to go to work. And then I told him at work, I says, I'm going to go home. Never have I gone home in any time when I owned the shop. But I says, I'm going home. I went home. And I started reading the word, and I decided I'm going to claim some verses. Well, I'm going to make this long story short. Within 3 days, I was healed. I'm saying this to say, it's been a journey to get to where I have been. I have claimed his healing. I am healed by his stripes. At work, when they asked me, what happened? I says, I'm healed. Well, what about your red spots? Was it medicine you took? I says, nope, I don't take medicine. He says, I'm healed. But what I'm trying to get at is this. To get to where I have to realize how the word works in your life, I've been on a journey 30 years to get to where I'm here today, to saying that. I walked around a stupid mountain for 40 years when I wouldn't have had to. What I'm trying to say is, I was lost. I was saved. But I was fumbling around. I didn't know how to work the word. I didn't know how to live my life. And finally, I decided, I'm going to get in the word and figure out, what are you telling me? I have to get the answers. I always said, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. I wasn't satisfied. I'm saying all this to realize that I says, okay, Lord, for 30 years I struggled like this. I says, I don't want to see anybody else struggling going through what I did. I says, I want to help somebody else out. I want to be there for somebody who has gone through what I had. And you got to watch what you say, because the Lord puts people in front of your life. He put somebody in front of my life and asked me to be their mentor. I said, sure, it's going to be work. Little did I realize, it's a very, very humbling experience. I did not take this lightly, realizing someone wants to go and to be a disciple like I did. I was mentoring, and I didn't understand it very well. But what I'm trying to get at is, this is Jesus' main commission. This is what Dave has talked about this morning, becoming the disciple. He said he had a mentor in his life, someone who walked along beside him, someone to help him in his struggles. Emily, she is going to go out in the field. She needs mentoring. She is going to be mentored when she goes to the school down there. They're going to teach her how to walk the discipleship life. I do have a little video I like to show you. You want to go ahead and play it? And this will kind of explain what I'm talking about. all I can say is, this is what's been on my heart. This is what God's called me to do. We may not be going out in the mission field like Dave has or like Emily, but we all have a mission right here in our home. The people you meet, you disciple, you talk. I can't meet everybody that you can, but if everybody would at least go and make a disciple takes time. It's teaching. That's what Jesus told them in Matthew 28. He told his disciples, go. He didn't say make converts. He said make disciples. Teach them. Train them. Work with them. Walk beside them. Encourage. Yes, they'll have downtimes. Yes, they'll be discouraged with us. But yes, we can walk them through that. To know that God has a plan for every single life here. We're commissioned to go, to talk. This is what the church is supposed to be like. When you have a heart, I've always felt that, you know, when as a church, we always want to get ready, converted, and get saved. Yes. And we welcome into church. And then what? The world took a hold of that system, did better than we did. If you was to go out in the world and apply for a job, and you got hired, would you go on that job and say, I'm hired. No. What do? They teach you. They train you. They work with you. They help you because they know you're going to make mistakes. They help you. They train you. They show you how to work for that company to make it more smooth and run efficiently. This is what we as a church have neglected. This is what's been laid on my heart. It's not just me. If I mentor somebody, I would hope they go mentor somebody else because this is being a true disciple. A true disciple is imitating Christ. And that's what we all should do. Okay. I'd like to invite Dave and Emily up, and I'd like to pray for them because they're true disciples. They have taken the step beyond, and I'd like to pray for them. Let's pray. Father, right now, we just thank you that these two, Dave has been on the mission field. He understands, he knows that you've called him. And Father, I just pray that Holy Spirit, you just keep leading him, encourage him, walk with other people. Tell them about Christ and his goodness and his love, that they too can go share with other people. And Father, I pray for Emily, that she is launching out in this new beginning. Father, I just pray, Holy Spirit, just fill her up with your word, that she will be discipled, that she can go step out and teach other people what she has learned to accept Christ and be a disciple. Father, I just pray, Holy Spirit, as they go back, when Dave goes back, Father, just open up the doors. Be amazed what God has planned for his life. And like he says, it's just amazing what God's doing in his life. Yes, Dave, I thank you for your time and your effort and your energy and your commitment to follow, be a disciple. That is truly important. And Emily, you have chosen a good thing to first put God first in your life. And Father, just bless them as they go out. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, just open our eyes and may we continue to lift them up, encourage them in our prayers, maybe write notes, whatever, that Lord, you have commissioned us to go and we too will make disciples. I thank you, Lord. I give you all praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. All right, thank you very much.